there is, you know, incredible academic preparation happening here, incredible spiritual preparation and maturation and growth happening here.
My success stories have really just been one after another. They're successful to me because I love to see people's lives change.
It was a remarkable experience.
Hello and welcome to Latter-day Profiles. I'm Brian Howard. We're here on the campus of Brigham Young, University of Idaho, and joining me today is Janelle Christensen. Janelle, welcome. It's so good to have you here.
Thank you. My pleasure.
You know, I got to know Janelle through her brother, Jay, who many in Southeast Idaho know as a news anchor who retired recently, and he talked about his sister a lot and all the amazing things that she was doing. Janelle was retired recently, but was the director of Living Legends at BYU for quite some time, about 30 years.
Yep.
Also worked with Young Ambassadors. And had some amazing experiences with the sesquicentennial of the church.
Right.
Also with the Olympics and some tours with young men and women going to China and other places.
Right.
So tell us, I know from Jay that you grew up in Wisconsin. I know that your family was heavily involved in entertainment, television,
right,
doing those kind of things.
Right.
Tell us about your growing up.
I think we just had a magical childhood. My father was a very, very fine actor. He had opportunities to go to both Broadway and Hollywood, but it was during the war times. He had a very important job that was war related. Didn't ever feel he could really make that his profession. But by virtue of that, we had, as children, opportunities to be in shows in Milwaukee. We had a kind of a family TV show. It was really my brother's show. It was called The Cookie Show. But my younger brother, Jay, and myself would make frequent appearances on that show. I was known as Candy, and he was affectionately known as Little Crumb. So we had The Cookie Show with Candy and Little Crumb. My father wrote it. And every day after school, we'd go down to the studio and do that. And just grew up in a home filled with music and theater and drama. By virtue of that, I just found my way to Brigham Young University, of course. And through training I had there, just felt like this was where I needed to be. And as any good, you know, little BYU student would, I found a very fine theater major and married him. And we just were ready to take on the world.
So you went to BYU, obviously majored in, you know, dance theater, I'm supposing, mm-hmm, right?
Yes.
That sounds like you had a great experience. You found your husband there.
Found
so obviously
my husband
it was a very
there.
Good experience.
Right.
So once you graduated, then, yeah, you're ready to take on the world. What were some of your options? What did you want to do?
Well, we started, you know, my husband was influential in starting the Sundance Summer Theater with Robert Redford. Mm-hmm. We directed summer theaters in Island Park and in Jackson Hole. And it was just wonderful. And we really found ways to use our theater in our profession as well, which was great. And we had three beautiful children along the way. And then sometimes life takes a little pathway that you don't think it's going to. And we moved around quite a bit. In one of our moves, we found ourselves in St. Louis looking for a house. And during the whole week we're looking for the house, Lars doesn't feel very well. And so by the end of the week, he just checked himself into a hospital. And we found that he had just massive cancer throughout his whole body. And I remember the day we found that out, went to the hospital, and we just knelt down on that cold kind of linoleum floor next to that hospital bed. And we knew Heavenly Father would be aware of us during this situation. We just said a prayer, and afterwards we made three decisions. We decided, first of all, it was going to be a positive experience. Second of all, we were going to do everything we could do. Third of all, we were going to put our hand in the hand of the Lord and trust Him and leave it in His hands to take us on the pathway He had in mind for us. What I remember is really the hardest part was over when we made those three decisions. We were able to let go of any panic, any fear. We just allowed the Lord to bless us. And those blessings flowed in remarkable, extraordinary ways for the next 6 months. And we saw, we understood, we felt things that I knew the Lord had as blessings, especially for us and for our family. 6 months later, he was gone. Mm-hmm. And then I had to say, this is a new chapter. Again, I said, I'm going to make this a positive experience. I'm going to do everything I can. And I am going to leave it in the hands of the Lord and trust that He will take me where I need to go. So after a couple more years, we had just moved to St. Louis. We moved there anyway, even though we knew this is, you know, he was sick when we went. But we were in St. Louis, stayed there a couple of years. I had a great opportunity to be part of a cable TV show for the church there, directed a large pageant in Nauvoo, and I love living in the mission field, so I loved being in St. Louis, but I got a very clear prompting that I was supposed to take my family back to Utah. Mm. We had family there for those three young children, and there was a work to do in Utah. So I thought to myself, well, if I'm going to go back to Utah, what do I really want to do? And I thought, I think I would like to direct the Young Ambassadors. Mm. Now, this was kind of an outrageous thought because, first of all, I had never seen the Young Ambassadors. But a very good friend of ours was one of the directors. And I knew of the group. I knew of their mission. I knew of the importance of theater and song and dance to make a difference and build the kingdom. So I knew of those things, but I'd never really seen them. The second reason was a little bit outrageous. I was a single mom with three young children. This group toured. They left, you know, they went for a month or two outside the country. And yet I knew that if that's what I was prompted to do, the Lord would provide the ways that we would be blessed and that would happen. So I made an appointment with Newell Daly, flew out to BYU, sat with Newell Daly, talked with him like we're talking now. After 3 hours, he just nodded his head and he said, "You should be here. We'll create a position." So bless his heart, I don't know what he saw in me, but the next year I had my family in Utah and I was directing the Young Ambassadors.
Wow. How did you make that work? You brought up those points. You got your three kids, you're doing this.
Well, because I think when the Lord opened that door, hundreds of angels walked through. There were just those invisible blessings. First of all, my children growing up had the very best role models in the world. Mm-hmm. Directed the Young Ambassadors for a number of years, then moved over for the last 30 years to direct Living Legends. Those young people were in my home a lot. My children were with those. They had the best role models growing up. My father died shortly after I started. My mother moved in with us. Mm-hmm. I could go to England or China or wherever for a month, and my mother was right there. Everything just fell into place. The Lord's hand moved over that. So I was able to do that. My children were blessed, again, to just grow up with the best role models. And then as they got older, have an opportunity to perform and be with those groups as well. So it was really a very magnificent blessing.
Did your children all participate in those?
Well, they participated in Young Ambassadors. By that time, you know, my good colleague, who I learned so much from, Randy Booth, was the director. So it wasn't that they, you know, were having mom for their director. But yes, as they grew up, because again, we had a home filled with music and dance and theater. And so they were involved and were able to travel on their own with Young Ambassadors and have those same unbelievable missionary experiences, where not only did we love the arts and did we love music and dance, but we were able to do it in such a way that we brought in our love for the Savior, our love for the gospel, sharing the light and the truth during performance. It was the best of all worlds.
Give us an idea, a glimpse inside of your day-to-day. You know, we think about the performances, and pretty much that's all we see, but there's so much that goes into preparing, especially if you're traveling. What kind of things would go into those performances as you travel around the world?
Oh, well, an amazing amount. We do have, you know, some wonderful, our performing arts management office will take care of a lot of the logistics. And if you keep the kids fed and sleeping in a nice place, you've gone a long way. So those kind of things. But there I think my kids realized, you know, the stress level sometimes was amazing, much more than people think. We were a missionary group. So we were creating not only the best in excellence in performance, but the best in excellence in the spirituality that the children, these magnificent students were bringing, but also in every case, whether it was Young Ambassadors, Living Legends, you know, the spectaculars that we worked with for the Olympics or Sesquicentennial or China, it was being able to bring in a message with the performance aspect of it that made it so much more important. So, you know, there would be the tour clothes, there would be the costumes, there would be the lights, there would be the logistics of where we were going, there would be where does the Lord want us to go, where are we needed? And that was very much directed as well. You know, there were brethren and there were performing arts management committees looking at how the church was growing in places. Where does the Lord need to feel the light and the truth of these particular performing groups? And then we would see miracles always. Mm. I mean, we would go to Eastern Europe, maybe one point they sent Living Legend there 3 years in a row. Now that was unprecedented because we don't go any place, you know, without going a lot of other places in between. There's so many places to go. But again, they said, this is a window in time. The Lord's open for this particular group to go in there. And this was right when there was a lot of things going on there. Yeah. The Berlin Wall is coming down. And these young students are going in. They're meeting with government officials. They're softening hearts. They're making a difference wherever they go. So yes, the logistics of not only how do you teach the song and the dance, how do they look? How is their spirituality level? What is the message that we can weave through, not to proselyte, not to be overbearing in what we're doing, because we're entertaining them, but you can always bring in some kind of message that touches them on a much deeper level than they even realize. Mm.
Well, you've got to be a hand in some really amazing projects. I stumbled across two that I didn't know you were involved in until we started talking. Mm-hmm. So my wife was working at KBYU and she got some tickets to this, you know, cool thing, this sesquicentennial. Well, I don't know what it is, but let's go. Yeah. And we were blown away. That was amazing. Tell us about that sesquicentennial celebration.
Oh my goodness. Well, it was, you know, the 150th anniversary of the Saints entering the Valley. Well, we have Cougar Stadium at our disposal with both all the goods, pros and cons, a big space, but you know, the elements and dealing with all those, we want to make this a theatrical experience. How are we going to light the stadium? We can't just turn on those bright lights. We need all, how are we going to light the entire Tabernacle Choir sitting in the bleachers? How are we going to make a pathway across the stage to bring the wagon train and the horses? And then we had four complete, how are we going to involve all the people? So we created four stages, one at either end and one on either side. We had dancing waters that were going up behind them. We had special lighting effects. We had sound that would travel from stage to stage. So in the international thing, when the performers would run from stage to stage, whatever sound was theirs, the audience would hear different things as it went. Just the incredible logistics of how do you make this all happen? How do you pay tribute to the great love we have for those pioneers, for what they went through? How do you recreate it? How do you bring the Tabernacle Choir, how do you bring hundreds of people, community, BYU? So it was a magnificent and a daunting and a thrilling experience. And ironically, we thought, what do we do at the end of this performance? How do we take it now? We're going onward from here. So we had this wonderful idea that would the MTC allow us to bring 3,600 missionaries down the hill and into the stadium? This was a big surprise. I mean, there's lots of publicity for this show. Never did we let them mention that at the end of this show, when you hear that beautiful, stirring call to serve, that from every entry would flood the stage. We had 3,600 of the missionaries. Wow. And as the audience realized what was happening, realized who those young men were, and I remember to this day, it was a remarkable experience of the power of not only all these theatrics, but the heart of that. So with all the stages and the water and everything, most people remember those missionaries that walked in the end, that sealed the deal. This is what we're going forward. All of us now are still part of this, you know, 150 years of the pioneers and what they have given us. So.
Yeah, some of
remarkable.
Them about that I remember very well. Yeah. One of the most happy accidents I ever had is going to that event. That was awesome.
Well, thank you.
You know, another one that I was able to go to, you know, 2002 Olympics were in Salt Lake City, and most of us couldn't go to a lot of the actual athletic events because it just didn't work out. But, you know, the church said, we're not going to proselyte, but we're going to do great things, like an event you were able to help on, which was the Light the World, right?
Yeah, Light of the World. And it was, again, another, we just transformed that entire conference center, all the chairs, all the general conference things you're used to seeing, and we created a stage that was actually a dome. In fact, one of the biggest challenges was getting the right footwear on the Tabernacle Choir, who we required to come out the back and trek all the way down that dome as they sung their songs. And we then, of course, created another pathway for the pioneers to come. We, one point, the stage opened up and we had the, you know, we had a river running down through it, and we had the handcart companies and the snow, and we had flying gear so that we were flying big props and we were flying people in, and we just took people on a wonderful journey that again allowed us, without, you know, being preachy or proselyting, to bring it around to, this is who we are. You're in Salt Lake City. This is, you know, this is the conference center of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This is what we believe, and this is where our source of inspiration comes from. Mm-hmm. And to end with a beautiful statement from President Hinckley, a big, you know, probably 100-foot curtain drop down, and his image is on there, and all the people, all the hundreds of people are coming in now, all dressed in white from whatever costumes they'd seen earlier. And we are just giving them an experience of, this is who we are. And we want to share the joy and the light that we have with all of you. Mm.
And I just wanted the feedback on that one. It's such a great event. I imagine that there were some pretty great reviews. It was awesome.
Oh, definitely. I mean, people, it was the hottest ticket in town. I mean, people from around the world wanted to see and feel what they were going to feel when they walked into that magical place.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That's great.
Well, just before you retired, then they wanted you to help out with a China tour. Tell us about that. How did you end up in China?
I was just ready to retire. I mean, I was ready. I'd waited a long time. I'm old. I'm way past retirement age. And there came an opportunity for us to go to China. And so they came to me and they said, would you consider maybe, you know, just delaying retirement a year or two and helping us to create this show. They wanted to take a spectacular. We've sent performing groups for the last, you know, 40 years to China. This was the 40th year of friendship. To the Chinese people, friendship is very important, and we wanted to make it special. So they said, you know, could you create a spectacular? Well, I've been directing the homecoming spectaculars on campus for 30 years. In my mind, that meant a lot of people. Mm-hmm. That meant a lot of groups. And so I thought that I'm just going to propose. This is what I see. If they really want to make an impression. And they wanted to kind of rebrand the university as well. 40 years ago, we were the only university in town in Beijing. Now there's many others. They wanted to kind of regain our presence, make our presence known again, and especially honor the Chinese people by how much the 40 years of friendship meant to us. Mm-hmm. So I came back with a proposal. Eight groups, you know, Young Ambassadors, Living Legends, Ballroom, Vocal Point, Folk Dance, you know, Cougarettes, the Dunk Team, you know, I thought they're going to love the Dunk Team. Jimmer Fredette's the hottest, you know, guy in Beijing right now. So we're, you know, wanting to take the Dunk Team. And I proposed it, not really thinking it through, thinking, no, they won't. They approved it. They said, yes, this is what we want to do. So I found myself taking 170 performers, 30 on a crew, 200 people to China. So it was a big deal. And we made it a spectacular. We had props. We had scenery. We had costumes. We had trampolines and mats for the Dunk Team. We had basketball standards. And we sent it all over to China. And we arrived in Beijing 5 days before the show. And we expected our 25 pallets of lights and sound equipment and props and big life-size puppets for our spectacle to be there, and they were not there. But we were assured that there had been a delay, but maybe 2 days they would be here. And so we thought, okay, so we hung on, we got ourselves organized. 2 days later, they gave us the good news that, yes, they had left Los Angeles. Unfortunately, they'd been bumped and had gone to Newark, New Jersey.
Oh, no.
And so, you know, 2.5 days before the performance, we realized we have no props, we have no mats, we have not any of our big spectacle items, no scenery, none of our lighting and sound plots and equipment would get there by the Friday night show. We needed a miracle. We prayed, of course, and I guess the miracle we maybe hoped for was somehow they'd send it right over and not even bypass, you know, the customs, and we would just have it. That isn't the miracle we got, but we got a miracle. The first miracle, almost to me, was that in spite of this daunting thing, we had a show on Friday. It was the most important show. It's where it was going to be televised. All the government officials were coming. We had none of those things. Nobody panicked. Nobody was angry and bitter. There was the amazing faith of those young people and that technical crew to think, Heavenly Father knows, He's aware, He's not going to let us fail. We just have to have the faith that we can't see it now, we don't know how it's going to happen, by Friday, 2.5 days, we will have a show. And within the next 24 hours, that tech crew jumped in Beijing, don't speak the language, jumped into taxi cabs, went to IKEA, went to supply places, went everywhere they could to try and recreate what we could. Every one of these 8 performing groups went, you know, got together and said, okay, how do we re-choreograph this number without our giant circle of life puppets? How do we make this work? And the thing is, in those next 24, 48 hours, with perfect faith, they regrouped, redid the whole show. Friday night, the spirit in that place, the impact that those students had, the reaction from the government officials was unbelievably powerful. And we realized, I realized, it wasn't so much about the lights and the scenery and the props. We had the students. They were our vehicle to convey the light and the joy and the message of friendship and love that we had for the Chinese people. And they have never shined brighter.
You know, is it one of those things where without the mishap, you wouldn't have realized the great blessings, I guess, that come from it,
right?
Because something really changed and made it work out.
And that experience that those young people went through with perfect faith and that amazing tech crew to recreate and do what they had to do. Now, this is not to say that it wasn't really sweet the last 2 days in Beijing, the last 2 days of the tour, when everything finally caught up with us, that it wasn't great fun to see it the way we had really created it. But President Worthen, everyone said, don't think for a moment that the purpose of the Lord was not 100% fulfilled without any of that, because of those students and the light and the faith that they brought to that. A magnificent experience.
You know, I don't know how you, we only got about a minute or so left. I don't know how you sum up such a fantastic career as you've had. But you know, there's a difference between performing, which is fantastic, but helping others reach their potential in teaching them and helping them to reach their best. What is it about that you love?
It's everything. You know, it's everything. It's the difference that I feel like I was able to be a part of. When I was just a teenager, I had a blessing, and the blessing said, you will find great joy and adventure in preparing the way for the Lord. Looking back, could I have had a more perfect career to fulfill that promise than to watch young people sing and dance with excellence beyond compare, and yet bring the same excellence in who they are as vehicles of light and truth, so that every production was a reflection of the Savior, and the bottom line was bringing people unto Christ. Very blessed.
You've been so busy throughout your career. Retirement, what do you do now? Are you, I'm sure you're keeping busy. What now?
Oh my goodness. Well, the pandemic, you know, I mean, working in the temple. I mean, many, many things that are minute on hold. But ironically, during that, this kind of pandemic time, I have grandchildren and sons and daughter-in-laws and stuff in transit that I can be a part of helping transitions. You know, we've got a lot of life transitions. First time in my life, I have had time to put those children, those grandchildren first.
Awesome.
And it's been a blessing, great blessing.
You know, it's been a pleasure to chat with you, and I wish you all the best. Thank you so much for taking the time and coming to chat
today. My pleasure. Thank you.